Okay, when we left off last time, so we're still in the introduction. Hopefully we're going to move a little faster, cover a little bit more ground, be a little bit more inside this week. As Rabbi Enoch pointed out to me, that would be a good idea. I'm a Kabbal the Musar, which I guess is a good thing if you're running a Musar Chabura. Where we left off is the Chovos HaLevavos made a split, a beautiful split between the fact that we are mechuber mi nefesh v'guf, and the way that he defined nefesh is that it's eno nireh, and the way that we define guf is that it's nireh, it's seen. So the guf is seen, the nefesh is not seen. And because of that, says the Chovos HaLevavos, the guf has a specific type of work that it has to do, and that's called chovos ha'ivarim. It literally needs to move, that's the ma'aseh mitzvos and so on and so forth. And then the Chovos HaLevavos, which obviously the Chovos HaLevavos, the Sefer is predicated on that concept. Chovos HaLevavos is the internal, the Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shamayim, Yiras Hashem, Hachna in front of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. That's all the Chovos HaEvarim. So if we were to put it just succinctly, the Maisa Mitzvah, putting on tefillin, putting on, davening every day, these are the physical mitzvahs. And at the same time, we have what we'll call the spiritual component, which is the neshama of the mitzvah, right? Every mitzvah has a guf and a neshama. So the neshama of the mitzvah is the chovos ha'ivarim. So Revolbi asks a beautiful kasha. We'll pick it up from Yeshnam in the third paragraph. Yeshnam bezeh shnei chidushim hatzrichim iyun. Two questions we have to ask. Ha'echad hadaras guf v'nefesh kinira ve'enu nira. Asher lefi havanaseinu ha'havchana ha'ikaris hi ha'guf ha'chomer kasha l'ra. So he asks, I think quite brilliantly, that if you had to define a guf and a nefesh, you would not say a guf can be seen, a nefesh can't be seen. That l'chora is not a very good hagdara. The hagdara here that Revolbi is referring to is really the hagdara of the Derech Hashem. The Ramchal in Derech Hashem says that everything that's Moshechas to Ra, all those feelings we have that are Moshechas away from the truth, the perversions of the truth, right? That's what Chet mean. Chet is a distortion of the truth. Chet is not you're a bad person. We don't believe in that. Chet is, it's a distortion. It's a distortion, right? So what distorts us? That's the physical. And what is dragging us towards emes, towards kedusha, right? Towards blending. Yeah, kedusha is always the malkum. By the way, just so everybody understands clearly, everything that exists in the world of kedusha always exists in the world of the physical and the spiritual. And we tend to think of, kedusha is purely spiritual. It's not true. If you go through everything in halacha, you'll always find that we're mekadesh that which is physical. Right? It's the kedusha is the place where physical and spiritual meet. Yeah, so what drags us to Kedusha is the nefesh, is the neshama. So, l'chara, why is the Chovos HaLevavos coming at it from a side angle? He's coming at it from like back door. Like, this is seen, this is not seen. He doesn't get, l'chara, the Chovos HaLevavos is not getting to the etzem nature of what a guf and a nefesh is. You see, he's asking olam de shakasha. Just come at it straight. The essence of a guf is its kashur l'ra. The essence of a nefesh is kashur l'kedusha. That would have been describing his essence. Here it's describing it almost in like very physical terminology. It can't
it's
be seen, it can't be
to
seen.
Say that all the mitzvahs we do are kashrut l'guf. Yeah?
Yeah, give me an example of one that's not.
No, I'm just saying that just to say it's all just physical activity.
Right, yeah, and
economic. One point like davening, one of the examples is davening. That's a chovos l'guf, is davening. Yeah,
right.
The shuckle, that's what you're supposed to do?
Right.
I mean, your mind is involved in it, your emotions are involved in it, and hopefully your neshama is involved
right,
in all the mitzvahs that you do, in kavana. It's to say that all the everything in Shulchan Aruch, that's chovos haguf.
Yeah. And echanami, right. Like we say, tefillah is avodah shebelev. Right? So how could that... L'chora, that's not chovos ha'ivarim. I had a Rebbe, not to get sidetracked, but I had a Rebbe who was very encouraging to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah. To actually talk. So, and by the way, Rav Victor Miller was famous for that. Rav Victor Miller, people used to think he was talking in shul. Because he would literally daven the words like he was talking. So it would sound like he was talking. Like, who's that guy talking in the front? Because that was Rav Victor Miller. So I had a Rebbe who was very against shakal. He said, when you talk to somebody, you talk like this. It's ridiculous. If somebody came to me and they started talking to me like that, I'd be like, I know excellent therapists for you to go to. This is not the way that human beings talk. So he was talking. He said, a light shakel to be yotze in Shulchan Aruch. It says, yeah, but you're right. It's hard to think of
what he means is that in terms of davening on time, the minyan, those kind of those technical elements.
It's true, but if that's all he means, it's still strange, no? The Chovas HaLevavo says, the Chovas HaEvarim are all the mitzvahs. You're right. It doesn't necessarily seem like that. I think Rav Volbi, I definitely feel like Rav Volbi's answer is going to answer that, based on my experience here. The second.
What was the davening?
That's talk of the question, right, Dani? What if you daven without kavana? Right? If you yotze, if you say Krishma without kavana, is that chovas ayvarim? You're not yotze. If you're not mekabel amach shemaim. Yeah, it's true.
You did the physical act.
No, but I think his point is well taken. He's trying to say that I wouldn't necessarily divine it like that. There are elements where it's sort of integrated. Rav Volbi's going to cover. Shenis misbar bezek ki guf nefesh mechayvim shnei suge avoda. V'dafka lefi ha'agdara hanal avoda guluya v'avoda tzefona gamzeh tzarech havana. Also, it's very interesting the way the Chovas HaLevavo set it up. He set it up in such a way that the guf has a certain type of avoda because it's physical, and the nefesh has a certain type of avoda because it's concealed. So the Chovas HaLevavo sets it up. There's a revealed avoda, there's a concealed avoda. So it's an interest. The point is, it needs iyun. Why? I don't think he's asking a kasha so much. He's just trying to understand. Like, in general, we don't think of the way that we do a mitzvah is because our guf is physical. He's setting it up in a certain oifen that we have to really understand what's he trying to say over here. Let's get to the depth of it. Okay, so now let's start to get a little deep. Divrei HaChovas HaLevavo negoim be'etzem inyan guf nefesh asher yitzir et ha'adam be'atzma mechayev es osanu lehisbeinen ma'azois asa elukim guf neshama k'shtei yitziros v'lo yitzira achas shehiya adam metzius achas b'lo shehiya murkav k'mo shehu atom. He points out that the Chovas HaLevavo here is going into the essential definition of man. The way I always say it over is that man is divinely human. And we have to put it in English words. He's divinely human. He's made up of nefesh and guf. Yeah? And that in itself requires us to ask a question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us ki'ilu, almost like we're two separate parts, divine and human? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu create us as one? We even naturally sometimes feel a distinction between our guf and our nefesh. By the way, it's interesting that in psychology, a person who feels a distinction from their guf is called unhealthy. For example, if somebody has suffered a serious trauma, sometimes they literally leave their body. They leave their body. And what happens is that later in life, they talk about their body as if it's not themselves. They say, like, this shoulder is hurting. Not my shoulder is hurting me. They ki'ilu don't relate to their body because they left their body undergoing certain traumas. You can imagine what type of trauma.
Probably by this whole psychology thing came from going, you have no idea of the shaman. And therefore, if I am a goof, that's who I am. But we know.
A psychologist once told me that with psychology you can either go absolutely off the derech because they figured out another way of being magdir it without the neshama, or if you choose to see the neshama in it, so then it's brilliant. Actually, the same therapist told me from Rav Orlowick that he asked Rav Orlowick, he said, because all therapists need to be in therapy, that's the rule, otherwise, because you are the kli. So he asked Rav Orlowick, how come I feel like I've steiged so much more in therapy with psychology than I did from all the Musar Vadim in Yeshiva? So Rav Orlowick told him, because the therapists today, the good ones anyway, the therapists today have succinctly defined what the Balei Musar meant. Yeah? So with psychology, a person has to be very careful. In other words, because either you can go totally off, or you can really be keyed in. It's interesting, Dafka, that Rav Volbi was tremendously insightful, and as I said last time, all the therapists are jealous of him. Like, how did he know this? He knew it
he definitely studied it. There's an article he wrote that was printed in one of these Torani medical journals.
Yeah.
It's called Nasila Serafua.
Okay.
He's quoting, he quotes in the original German a lot of different psychologists.
Yeah,
he's
he went to the University of Berlin. Yeah.
Yeah. But this was written in the 80s. I mean, so he still knew the stuff.
He quoted Frankl?
Quoted Frankl, quoted other people I hadn't heard of, other German people I hadn't heard of.
Does everyone here know who Viktor Frankl is?
He seems to be very, very positive.
You guys know who Viktor Frankl is?
Something related to the Holocaust, I think.
Yeah. Let me just speak out. Let me just speak out who Viktor Frankl was. Very, I want to get moving on this, but I think it's just important to understand who he was. Viktor Frankl was a secular Jew who went through the Holocaust, and he developed a type of therapy, logotherapy it's called, while he was in the Holocaust. Based on his experiences in the Holocaust, he developed what is today a very popular form of psychology, which is that if you establish value and meaning to certain things, you can overcome things that are going on. So the story, the reason why I bring it up is Viktor Frankl's story is unbelievable. When he went into the concentration camps, he brought with him his manuscripts from his early work, which was his life. And he was really just trying to hold on to these manuscripts. And he showed up to the camps and you had to get rid of all of your possessions. And he was bargaining with this Nazi person that was telling him, you know, soldier who was telling him, you have to give him all your stuff. He's like, please, what do these papers mean to you? They mean nothing to you. Please, they mean something to me. Please let me keep them. At first, the Nazi was sympathetic, but in the end, he said, no, you got to throw it in the pile with everything else. And it got incinerated. And his life's work went up in flames. And he was distraught. He was so broken. They showered him off, you know, they shave you down. They did the whole nine yards. And they gave you a prisoner who had just been cremated. They gave you his uniform. He puts his hand in the pocket of his new uniform. And what does he pull out? The previous owner of that uniform had written Kriya Shma on a piece of paper so that he should always have Kriya Shma with him. And Viktor Frankl, the secular Jew, is looking at Kriya Shma and he's like, this is what's going to get me through the camps. This is what's going to get me through the Holocaust. And that's how he came up with logotherapy. It's true, I just lost my whole work, but actually that's where his life work began. With that piece of paper, with that Kriya Shma. And that's where he started learning, if I establish value and meaning, I can make it through anything in life, and no amount of pain can ever take me. Which is, and I mean, it's brilliant. If you ever read his stuff, it's really, truly brilliant. So it's interesting that Revolbi was quoting Frankl, because I think a lot of Revolbi's shitas are very much in line with that, as we'll see.
He said the main reason, the nafkamina between people who died in the Holocaust, people who survived, was if they had meaning.
Right.
So they had meaning.
If they were able to continue having
meaning.
Done. Yeah. And that's why it's clear all the meisim with the Kleisenberger Rebbe and people that were just being mechazik people and that. Yeah. It was all about giving meaning. Okay, so let's just get down to it. So why did the Rebbe Nishlom create us as two separate things? Kach Shor Rabbeinu Ramchal, B'Sefro Das Tfunos, which is a very difficult sefer. I went through it last year. Very difficult sefer, Das Tfunos. It's more lengthy than Derech Hashem. And the Ramchal answers as follows. Tshuvasuhi. Ha'elokim osa ha'gof hazeh chomer av v'choshuch bilti ro'i lo'or ba'or k'dushasu yisbarach v'mnei mozgo ha'shofel hazeh. The Rebbeinu Shalom created the guf. And how does the Ramchal define the guf? He defines it the way we would have expected him to define it, right? The way we spoke about before, not like the Chavos Halvavos. He says the it's thick, it's physical, it's dark, it's not ro'i for the aura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the nature of the guf is very shuffle. Mozgo ha'guf, it's very, mozgo is nature, yeah, ha'shuffle hazeh. It's a very low inyan. Ki ein lovo al shara melech ulvaker b'yecholo el shlemei achana. Who can come, says the Ramchal, to the Shara Melech, who can approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Only those people that are appropriately prepared. And the Choshech that is naturally attached to the Teva of the Guf, it creates all the Taivos Haros that are constantly defeating us, and it makes us prone to all the bad things that you find in the world. It's all physical. The physical, I just want to say it like this. The physical is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. None of us would prefer to be physical. For example, if you have a doctor and he has to do a 12-hour surgery, And 6 hours in, he needs to stop to get a sandwich because otherwise he's running low on blood sugar. He's not going to be able to perform the task. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing that we have to eat. Nobody ever wants to feel like they have to stop. Yeah? The guf is by nature an embarrassing thing. One of the gedolim spoke out that that's what Gehenim really is. The neshama, when it goes up to Shamayim, is embarrassed about the fact that it was ever wearing this guf. When it's in the Olam HaNeshamos, as the Ramchal describes in Derech Hashem, when it's in the Olam HaNeshamos, it's like, I cannot believe that's where I was. It was so embarrassing. Right? That's why embarrassing somebody, yeah, is something that potentially you're chayav misa for. Right? Did I ever speak out to you guys that that's a real shaila that Rosh Shlomo Zalman had? Let's say it's Shabbos. I told you guys this?
No.
You know about it? You heard about it from me a different time. Rosh Shlomo Zalman had a real clair. Let's say you see somebody and he's about to embarrass somebody Barabim on Shabbos. Should you turn off the lights? Turning off the lights is Darabonim. Embarrassing somebody Barabim, potentially you chayiv misa for that. So maybe, and you should know, he blibes with the shaila. He doesn't pass on the shaila. I think the minig is, I think the way is we don't turn off the lights, yeah? But it's not so clear. Yeah, it's embarrassing somebody is a terrible thing. The feeling of embarrassment is the same feeling of Gehenna. It's otot davar, it's the same thing. It's physical is embarrassing, it's ra. It's being moshechas to do ridiculous things. Things we would never, ever in a million years want to do. That's one side of us. Now, on the other hand, we have a neshama that's literally carved out from under the kisei hakavod. The horid of enachlo b'toch haguf, it was blown into us. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. Zelitaru l'katsha. What's the purpose of the neshama? The purpose of the neshama is to elevate and be metaher the guf, to be mekadesh the guf, right? Kedusha always is where spiritual meets physical. That's the purpose of the neshama. Again, for an extended treaty on why we don't have it that way, ayin ramchal derech Hashem. The neshama right now is not able to do what it was supposed to do because our guf became even worse than it was when Adam HaRishon was born. So therefore the neshama is not able to do that. That's why in the Olam HaNeshamos, the Ramchal speaks out that one of the tikkunim for the neshama is it's able to illuminate the way it's meant to illuminate, which is why when it comes back down in after Tchias HaMesim into the body is able to be illuminated according to how much it did in its prior existence. So if a person is really be'etzem, they should be illuminating their guf. Their guf can't be illuminated. When the neshama goes up, it is able to finally illuminate. When the body comes back, after Tchias HaMesim, the body comes back the same body that Adam HaRishon had. Namely, it's much more thin, right? That's why, those of you who have heard that Adam HaRishon's body was made of fingernail. Yeah, it wasn't this thick. His whole body was made of fingernails. So it's because literally the body was a different type of body that was able to be illuminated. That's the body that we ultimately have in Tchias HaMesim, and you get illuminated, and then you're able to do more and more mitzvos until you literally illuminate yourself out of existence, and that's ultimately how the world finishes off in Olam Haba. For the deep Kabbalah on this, take a look in Sefer Dvar. Because all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah relate to the cosmic pattern that exists in the universe. Bereshis is the cast of characters. Shmos is all about the building of the Mishkan, right? Where, literally, the point where these things actually exist. Vayikra is all about karbanos, it's about sacrifices, it's about the work that we have to do. Bamidbar is about entering into Eretz Yisrael, those last moments before Mashiach. And then Dvarim is all about Olam Haba. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's brought down in many Svarim like that. Fine. This is what we need to understand. The whole purpose is not just for the neshama to sustain the guf. The ikar reason why the neshama comes out into the guf is to purify the guf in a real way. To literally elevate us from this very low place that we are to the place where we can be, which is literally like malachim. Like I said, we can illuminate ourselves out of existence. Also, just, again, this is not the ikar point here, but I think not kedai to move past this without speaking it out, is the neshama is life. Life lives. Life does not die. If life would die, it would reveal itself not to be life. So the people ask the question, is there life after death? It's a silly question. There's no such thing as death. Death does not exist for life. Death only exists for the body because the body is borrowing life from the neshama. So when the body ceases to borrow life from the neshama, it returns to the dirt, it returns to the earth. But of course, the life continues the same way you were alive well before you were born. Right? Your neshama is your truest existence. So I was alive. Now my body is borrowing life from my soul, and after I die, my life comes with me. My life, my neshama, my consciousness, with all of my thoughts, feelings, emotions, and particularly will, yeah, because will is really the nature of the neshama. What you want is, what your deepest ratzon is really the reflection of the neshama. Like the Rambam says in Hilchos Geirushin, Kofen oso ad sheyomer rotza ani, right? You can literally hit somebody until they say, I want, which, of course, everybody wants to be involved in that halacha. Right? Because that's the, you know, I know a couple of Chabad Hasidim that once got involved in it. You know, they got in big trouble. But the mice, I'm sure they had a good time. Yeah? Kovnos Hachiyomer Rotzani, they said, that's what I want. What do you mean that's what you want? Because your deepest Rotzon from your neshama is that's what you want. So your deep, your neshama, your life, your true existence is your will. And that continues on way after you left the body. It's, again, it's so embarrassing that we define ourselves by this body. I think Rav Victor Miller once said, he said, what do you think you are? You think you're a mess of protoplasm? Like, really? I have to speak like this. It's a really silly thing to think. And yet, all the time, what are we constantly doing? We're constantly focused on the body. It's a silliness. Right? This madrega of reaching a zikuch mamish, that happened by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu literally became a malach. And we all know the Gemara, right, that the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to leave. The neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu, even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I have a place for you, tachas kisei hakavod, is that I just don't see the difference. The neshama literally did not see the difference between being in Moshe Rabbeinu's body and being tachas kisei hakavod. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, come on, you're coming. It didn't give it a choice. But that was the madrega that Moshe Rabbeinu reached. Ukvar ra'u kol Yisrael ki keren arpanei Moshe. Everybody saw this. Again, I don't want to get sidetracked, but just to jump on this lashon of Karen Or for a second, just to bring out something I think very beautiful. Or is always consciousness. That's what Or is. Or is consciousness. Yeah. For example, we know always that the sun is a huge thing in Yiddishkeit. Yeah. Why? Because the sun emanates light from the cheftza of the sun itself, comes the light. Yeah. That's the same thing with the Rebbeinu Shalom. We say from the Rebbeinu Shalom himself comes the consciousness into this world. Our job really in this world is to reflect that consciousness. Getting a halachic tan, so to speak. Yeah? That's we have to have that consciousness. That's really everything here is about becoming God conscious. That's why if you think about it, the chiyuv to be learning, like there's a Ran in the Dorim, it's like on Tess or on Yud, Tessam Alf, it's Tessam Alf. There's a Ran on the bottom over there that says that basically a person is chayav to learn all day, literally as much as possible, kifi kocho. He puts in those two words, Baruch Hashem. Otherwise we'd be in big trouble. Yeah, kifi kocho. But why should a person constantly be learning Torah? Why is that? Eitz chayim hila machazikim ba? Because if you are connected to the source of life, the hainu, if you're God conscious, then you're alive. Anything less than that and you're just a dead man walking. Yeah. So what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the madrega of Malachi Ashares, that he was literally radiating from his face, is he was reflecting that light, that truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. He was literally so God conscious that he became a cheftza of God consciousness. That's the biggest light here. What does it mean to be a malach? It means to have no divergence. There's nothing that's pulling me away from where I be'etzem should be. Okay. Ad kan divrei haramchal. The derech of the neshama is to be mezakik the guf. And how does it do that? Through ma'isa mitzvos and kiyam ha'torah. Fine. As one person put it, we learn Torah so that we can know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We daven so that we can want what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And we do mitzvos so that we can do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Right? It's like being in a relationship. Yeah, first you have to know what your wife wants. That already is a big parsha. That's not clear to anybody. Yeah, and what's good one day is not good the next day. You literally need a Sefer Torah to understand anything about a relationship. Yeah, then you really have to daven that you could try to want what she wants, And then, Maisa, you have to do it. You know, Rav Orlowick, his Hagdara for love is, I want what she wants. You know this Hagdara? He says, what happens, we all know this, you get newly married, your wife wants to go shopping for drapes. Do you want to go shopping for drapes? Only if you're unhealthy. Nobody wants to go shopping for drapes, yeah? So what do? So you have three choices. The first choice is you could say, I'm not going. That's a terrible choice. And she's, you didn't come with me. You never come with me anywhere. I didn't want to go shopping for drapes. We all know, right? We're experienced with this. That's a terrible mistake. What's an even bigger mistake? To go shopping for the drapes. Yeah, that's the worst. If you go, she's sitting there. She's, I don't understand why you came. What do you mean why I came? You came, you wanted me to come. No, but I want you to want to come. Listen, I don't have to want to shop for drapes. I don't like shopping for drapes. How come you just can't be with me? I'm right here, right? It's like, right? We know that that's even worse. So Rav Orlowick says, what's the real definition? Is I want what you want. That's the real definition for love. Is it's true, I don't want to shop for drapes, but if it's important to you, it's important to me. One time when Rav Orlowick gave that shiur, there was a Hollywood screenwriter in the office, in the audience, and he went ahead and wrote the movie Shrek 2 based on this Rav Orlowick shiur. And supposedly Rav Orlowick is in the credits. And Rav Orlowick says, when he told this over, I heard it from him, he said, and I've never seen the movie and I don't plan on it. If it was me, I'd have that movie running on a constant loop in my house. I'd be like, that's my shiur, you know? Mm-hmm. That's like the godless of Rav Orlowick, yeah? So how do we do this? How do we live with the neshama? We do. The ma'aseh mitzvahs, the kiyam ha'Torah. It's not enough to just say, listen, honey, I love you. I want everything for you. So what have you done for me lately? Right? Like certain campaign slogans. What have you done for me lately? Not to bring more politics into the shul. What have you done? We'll turn this shiur into a circus. Fine. As if last Motzei Shabbos wasn't a circus enough. Harei zui tachlis hayitzira. So Rav Volbi says, so it's clear, what is the tachlis hayitzira? The whole purpose is to undo all of that hiddenness that exists, to reveal that which is hidden. That's the whole purpose. So the whole purpose is very simple. We were given mitzvos, literal, physical, actual mitzvos, to move, yeah, that's what changes the nature of the guf. Already, I think we can start to see, to answer your question, what does it mean that everything is chovas eivar? It means anything that's related to guf. Yeah, we're trying to undo the nature of the guf. Make sense? So that's why we have mitzvos. We have mitzvos to undo the nature of the guf. Me'ata mahi ha'avoda ha'tzafon. So now let's understand. So what's this concealed avoda? What's the difference between concealed avoda and revealed avoda? I just want to point out, because this Gemara that we're going to learn right now, that Rav Volbi brings, this Gemara is really the Haskalah of the Sefer. This is the golden ticket right here. So let's try to focus in. Garsini Mabrachus Yiram Ralf. Hani Chamisha Barchinafshi Kenegan Mi Amran David. David HaMelech said Barchinafshi five times. What's the significance of the number five? What was he saying this for? So Lo Amru Ela Kenegan HaKadosh Baruch Hu VeKenegan HaNasham. It's to reveal the correlation that exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Neshama. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malei Kol HaOlam Ach Neshama Malei As Kol HaGuf. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu encompasses the entire world, He fills the entire world, so too the Neshama fills the entire Guf. Don't ask me what any of these things mean. We're going to come to that. Yeah? Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roe Ve'eino Nireh. These should be familiar words to us because this was the Hagdara of the Chovas HaLevavos. Yeah? Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees but cannot be seen, so to the neshama can see, is seen, it, the neshama sees but cannot be seen. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the entire world, so too the neshama sustains the entire guf. Both of them are pure. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden away in the internal rooms, so too the neshama is hidden away b'chadrei chadarim. This is the critical line. So yavo mishayesh bo chamisha dvarim halalu v'yishabeach l'mishayesh bo chamisha dvarim halalu. Let the one who has these five things come and be mishabeach the one that has these five things. What does that mean? Ki daf, so namsinu l'meidem mizeh, l'amdem mizeh. What do we learn from here? Ki dafka ha-neshama yechol l'shabeach la-Kadosh Baruch Hu. The guf cannot be m'shabeach la-Kadosh Baruch Hu. Only the neshama. Why? Because when we say the neshama is a chelek elokam imal, we really mean it. It's not just a cute phrase. It means, the depth of the Gemara here is that it means that the neshama literally shares the same properties, so to speak, of the Ribbono Shel'olam. Just like the Ribbono Shel'olam has these five properties, the neshama has these five properties. Therefore, we are naturally connected to the Ribbono Shel'olam. So the one who has these five things is the one that could be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely the neshama. V'dafka chovos halavavos ha-mesiachsim el ha-neshama heim ikar ha-avoida. So what's the real avoida? The avoida is really the chovos halavavos, not the chovos ha-ivarim. The chovos ha-ivarim is to be mahapech the guf. But without the chovos halavavos, you're missing the point. Let me put it to you a little bit differently. What does the word religion mean? Right? We talk about being religious, which is dafka a bad thing anyway. Yeah, but what does the word religion mean? Religion, as Rav Shurkin says, frum stands for fil rishus veinig mitzvahs. Yeah, there's lots of rishus and very few mitzvahs. Yeah, we shouldn't. And in fact, Rav Volbi has a whole piece on frumkeit. He trashes frumkeit. We don't like frumkeit. But what does religion mean? The word religion is Latin. It means to connect. Yeah, it's got the same lashon as ligament. Yeah, to connect. The yesod of what we're doing here is to connect to the Ribbono Shel'olam. The chovos ha'ivarim do not connect you to the Ribbono Shel'olam. That's not what's happening. If that's what you've thought, it's incorrect. If you do a ma'aseh mitzvah that does not connect you to the Ribbono Shel'olam, the ma'aseh mitzvah is there to be mehapech the guf. The chovos ha'levavos, again, could join with the chovos ha'ivarim, but without the chovos ha'levavos, you're missing the point. It's like being in a relationship but not caring about your wife. You could go through all of the motions, yeah, but there's something missing. I said over on Tisha B'Av already from Moshe Weinberger about a couple that came to him. I said, it's good to say it again. A couple that came to him, and the whole time, the wife is sitting there, she's shaking her head, the husband's sitting there telling her, I don't know what she wants from me. I do the laundry, I change the light bulbs, I take out the garbage. She's sitting there going, it's not meaningful. What do you mean it's not meaningful? How could it not be meaningful? I'm doing all these things. She says, I didn't marry you to take out the garbage. I married you because of the way you looked at me under the chuppah. Yeah? So sometimes we could be in a relationship where we do many, many mitzvos, but so what? So it's good. So you're doing a lot of mitzvos. You're being mahapech the guf, but you're not in a relationship. Yeah? So you're missing the point of Yiddishkeit. You're not in a relationship. So what creates the relationship? That's why I said this is the golden ticket to the whole sefer. Because really everything we're going to do is about creating within us the ability to have that relationship with the Ribbono Shel'olam. So how do we do that? We got to have Chovos HaLevavos. We have to work on our Chovos HaLevavos. Now, I also want to just point out, you realize how subtle this is? It's so easy to do a mitzvah, no? Like, you realize, you could come to Davin, and many people do, they come. You should know, you know who knows this the best? You know who knows how false it is to do a mitzvah with no feeling? Teenagers, and Balei Tshuva, teenagers know it the best. They know it so well. I make fun of them, but they, Rabbi, what's this doing for me? What do you mean, what's it doing for you? Why does everything in life have to be about you, you narcissistic little kid? You know, like, hey, what's it doing for me? Yeah. What's it doing for you to say goodbye to your wife in the morning? Nothing, but if you're in a relationship, you say goodbye to your wife when you leave in the morning. So when you leave in the morning, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah? But really, they're right. Really, what they're saying is a little true. It's like, this is silly. It's silly. I'm doing this, but it's like, what in the world is this? Is the meaning of this motion? Yeah? I'll tell you an embarrassing story about myself. I was a teenager. I was not the most observant teenager. As I imagine, I'm probably not the only person that ever was in that boat, yeah? So I was in shul on Sukkos, and there was a guy who was becoming a ger. Fascinating story that how he was becoming a ger, not for now, he was becoming a ger. And we're sitting there walking around, shaking these branches, holding the esrog, yeah? Oh, no. Right? So I turned to this guy, he's becoming a ger, and I said, this has got to look so stupid to you. And he looks at me, he goes, no, it's beautiful. I felt like such a turd. Like, this guy, he realized, you know, because for me, all it was shaking a palm branch. This guy actually was finding meaning in his Yiddishkeit. To him, it was beautiful. There's an NBA basketball player whose name is Al Harrington. It's a true story. Al Harrington has a Jewish agent, an Orthodox Jewish agent. And when he used to play for the Knicks, so there was a family that knew this agent. They were very close with the agent, so Al Harrington became close with this Orthodox family in New York City. And one time, he went to them for Shabbos, and he fell in love with challah. Al Harrington's like 6'8", you know, 6'8", small forward, yeah? He fell in love with challah. He loves challah. So one time he came, and then he started going to this family all the time for Shabbos meal. You know, like you do. So, this is great. So he came Shabbos morning, and they had a teenager who was not really an observant teenager, and he came downstairs, you know, at like 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, hadn't been to shul, you know, dressed in his casual Shabbos, whatever, and he sees Al Harrington, and he goes, "Yo, Al, what's going on?" And Al went, "Mm." He had already washed. Imagine how that kid felt. His 6'8 player for the Knicks is in there going, "I'm sorry, I can't talk, I just washed." He's like just waking up at 11:30, 12 o'clock. Of course our Yiddishkeit is hard to access because we're not accessing it. Just because you go through the motions doesn't mean you're in a relationship. Just the opposite. If you're going through the motions, one thing we know for sure, you're not in a relationship. Yeah? And the more you go through the motions, the worse it's going to be. Yeah? So I'm not saying we should stop the motions, chas v'shalom, but we have to figure out how to access a deeper part. Let's do one more paragraph, and then we'll stop for the night. And maybe we'll get, do you guys mind if we get to Beis? We'll go five minutes, yeah? We'll be finished with 5 minutes. Does it work for everybody if somebody needs to go? What was that?
My first account's out.
Okay, be safe. So we'll try to move here.
I mean, are we supposed to go to 9 or 9:15?
I don't know. We'll go to 9? We'll go to 9. Stay there. Whatever, I'm saying, we have 2 more minutes, we'll see where we get to. I don't want to rush it, but at the same time, I think it's good to get somewhere. Fine, so the Ikar Avoda is the Chovas HaLevavos. Say Chavrusa? We'll just finish this paragraph. Yeah, the hagdara of the neshama is to be roa ve'eino neiris. That's the way the Gemara teaches it. It sees but cannot be seen. You want to know what spirituality is? We could talk. You know what spirituality is? Spirituality is very simple. Spirituality is hizana es kol ha'olam v'haguf u'mamaleh osa shorish kol nivra ba'olam chol eiver ba'guf hu beruchnius. It's very simple. The ruchnius is what sustains everything. It's the shayrish of everything in the world. Anything that, like I said, the body borrows life from the soul. What does it mean the body borrows life from the soul? That process of the body borrowing life from the soul, that's called ruchnius. That's called ruchnius. Yeah, ruchnius umamalayas kol ha'avaya akiles asar panimine. And this ruchnius, it literally fills up the entire world. There's nothing else outside of it, because it is the flow of life. Ruchnius zu atzma tahirahi upnimiyasi yoshevis bechadrei chadarim. This ruchnius, it's pure and it's hidden. The haroitzu lezakos eleha muchruch mikaidem lachter letoch tochiyusim shekol advarim. If you want to access spirituality, yeah, you have to go internal. It's not external. It's hidden away. Lamad al nishmaso ki hi ikar havayoso. You got to get to the neshama. The ikar havaya, the ikar of existence, is the neshama. Viliros nechaycha ruchniyuso shalaylam kulo. So if you really want to see spirituality, see, very rightly, you have to look at the ruchnius in the world. Eichu b'maya gilazeh, how do we do that? Gila Chazal es anukuda hamerkazus, the central point. Asher ha'ilaha anu tzrichim levasis avodaseinu im amnam b'hasaga ruchnius ha'chapatzim v'hi maha kodesh baruch hu ro'a ve'eno nere av neshama ro'a ve'eno nere. This is the golden ticket. If you want to be an internal person, if you want to literally live with ruchnius, live with the neshama, you have to be somebody who's ro'a ve'eno nere. You have to tap into that part of you that sees but cannot be seen. Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll pick up with a very practical application of how to understand Roa Ve'eno Niris. Have a wonderful Shabbos.